May the Lord help us to commence our services this morning with hymn number 20. Hymn number 20. Ere the blue heavens were stretched abroad, from everlasting was the Word. With God he was, the Word was God, and must divinely be adored. Hymn number 20.
Friends, I expect you have read much in the Gospel according to Matthew and Luke at this time. One seems led to read in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. But we do trust the Lord's given us their text in Luke chapter 2. St. Mark's Gospel chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also was in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let me alone. What have I to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? And art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirit, and they came, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread about throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun was set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek after thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we beg thee, help us now. Oh, we think of the word, who art there, O great mountain. Every sermon is a mountain, Lord, every service is a mountain to thy servants. We feel so insufficient, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, do come with thy sufficiency and grant it to us, that we may be enabled to worship thee, O God, this day. We may be able to continue in this service. We may be able to worship God, our Saviour, and thou, God the Father, for the gift of thy dear Son. If knoweth, we looked in the words in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, where we find it concludes with that tremendous statement of thanks, which should be from every one of God's people. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, We think of it, Lord, in the theme of the words that one penned. It's Jesus, the gift of gifts, appears to say, to prove that God is love. Oh, we pray we may so know thy love today, Lord, and love thee as we would in return. Oh, Lord, help us here. No, may we glorify our God, Jehovah, today. This is our purpose of gathering for worship. We pray we may have a single eye to thy glory in everything we do, everything we say today. And Lord, that we may be blessed in our souls. See thy blessing to each one here, Lord. Thou knowest each case. Thou knowest any that do not have a case. Lord, if there are any that do not have a case for thee, do begin thy work in them today. This is our burden, Lord, our burden for souls, that there was quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Lord, oh, we are concerned for the spiritual well-being of each one here, as well as their natural well-being. Lord, we come before them, Lord, feeling so insufficient, as we've said. But Lord, may that wonderful golden oil flow through a poor pipe today, that the dear people here may be blessed. Lord, it's thyself they need. Thyself they desire if they're spiritually exercised in that way. Lord, they need thee. They need thy mercy. They need to know that thou hast so purposes of love and mercy to them, and thy purposes are being made manifest in their experiences. Lord, do confirm them, do bless them. Lord, thou knowest we feel like the apostle, oh, that thou was bless thy people, feed them and lift them up forever. Like the psalmist also prayed in similar way. Lord, oh, the apostle said, my prayer and burden for Israel is that they might be saved. And Lord, oh, we think of this, thy spiritual Israel here, Lord, at Swavesey. Lord, thou hast thy people. Thou hast wonderfully worked in the latter years, the last few years especially, we've witnessed it. There was work here in Swavesey Chapel and blessed souls. And Lord, are there not many others yet to so be blessed abundantly? And Lord, oh, the theme of our text, which we one trust there was given us today, may be so proved in this new year. Oh, that there may be such a power felt of thy love, Lord, in precious souls, that they may show in love in return by obeying thy voice and Lord, esteeming thy will and desiring to follow thee, Lord, and put thee on by an open profession. Lord, thou knowest what solemn days we are living in, what solemn days they are, especially in this last year that we've almost passed through. Lord, we tremble before thee in all these things, considering them, how we, each personally, are accountable to thee. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. We have failed. We have come so short in so many ways. And Lord, oh, is it that we've come short even in being ready to publish solemnly, clearly, what we believe? Oh Lord, have we been hiding a light under a bushel? Have we been slack and neglectful in warning in this land of ours, warning our government, our politicians, Lord, in our various areas, Lord, have we been slacking it? Are we? And is this why judgment must begin at the house of God? Lord, oh, we've thought deeply, solemnly of many things of late. And Lord, how we are acting one toward another, even in our beloved denomination. Lord, thou knowest, we have had some very, very deep and solemn thoughts on it all, Lord. Oh, we're guilty. We're so often left to be legal, even as the Pharisees were. Lord, how we grieve thee by that. Oh, Lord, make us to be truly free, as thou didst speak. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Lord, do so deal with us each to make us truly free in the wonders of free grace. Oh, in the wonderful way that the apostle wrote to the Ephesians, brought nigh by the blood of Christ, accepted in the beloved. Lord, oh, we pray, do deal with us each. Make us to become truly self-renouncing, grace-admiring, made unto salvation wise. Oh, Lord, may we not be left like it is solemnly acknowledged in 1 Timothy, Lord, of those that blasphemed. Oh, Hymenaeus and Alexander, oh, we think of how it's put. And, Lord, that blasphemy they were the way of doing. Lord, it was against God. It was against the truth, but it was also against God's people. Lord, we can blaspheme against God's people. Oh, do ever give us to be concerned that we might not do this. Lord, do keep us, do bless us, do give us to be filled with love, love to thee and love to thy people. Oh, the love of Christ constraineth us. And Lord, one knows that that word means draws and also binds together. Lord, we pray, be with us here today. And oh, may we have true worship of our triune God. Within each of our hearts and souls and together here. We may be in unity, the unity of the Spirit. In confession of our sins, each of us not looking at others, but looking at each of us looking at ourselves. And Lord, in unity of the Spirit, in worship, and that thou, Lord, our God, may be glorified. This is our burden, this is our exercise, as we come among our friends here again. Lord, do so come and help us each. May we truly be as how we much covet what John acknowledged of his favoured exercise and state when he was on the Isle of Patmos and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May we know this, Lord. May we be in this favour, we beg. May all the things of nature and time be left at the foot of the mount. Oh, may we come up to thee, oh, drawn up to thee, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, none come except the Father draw. Oh, may we know, O God, our Heavenly Father, the drawing power of thy wonderful love. Oh, that thou so loved thy people that thou gave thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. So help us, Lord, may love be so much felt today that it shall fill our souls. It all defects supplies. Oh, 'tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice. 'Tis holiness, 'tis all. We pray, Lord, and much love and esteem may be felt here within these walls today and in the highest wonderful way to thee, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and may thy love be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, dear Lord. And the Lord, as we seek, Lord, we pray for our friends, any in affliction, any in any trouble, and knoweth their pathway, their experiences, what they're in. Do shoot thy blessing to them each, Lord. And Lord, we think of loved ones and friends, Lord, far and near, Lord, thou knowest, we think of friends up and down across the land, and Lord, thou knowest how we have much burden for them, Lord. We pray that we might so prove in this new year the wonderful favour as the days begin to lengthen and we may see more of the sun shining. May it be as a wonderful token of thy shining, Lord. Lord Jesus, shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. Lord, this is what we watch for, look for and pray for. And pray for one another for this favour, Lord. That the Son of, like our dear brother has prayed, Son of Righteousness may arise with healing in his wings. Lord, do come and arise today, and may we know it in the new year that we may, if thou spareth us, enter into, Lord. We pray, Lord, bless each one of the friends. If any are in affliction, as we think of some up and down the land, across the land, our friends that are, Lord, heal them, Lord. And there are those in sorrow, Lord. Their sorrow of loss of loved ones, Lord. Do comfort them. Oh, comfort them with the comfort of thy love. And Lord, there are those of our dear friends in much tribulation. Lord, thou knowest all about every case. Oh, we beg thee, help them, bless them, keep them. And Lord, as we think of many of how they are in illness with this terrible virus, Lord, and some of our own dear friends have been taken home to glory with it, and others have had it and felt so very ill, but have been brought through. Thou knowest a call from dear friend Mrs. Broom regarding her sister, and here we learned our dear friend and brother David has had it. And Lord, thou knowest, Lord, all his family, those of his family and those of other families, Lord. One of my own dear sons in the faith, dear friend at Chippenham, Lord, he has had it in his family. But wonderfully thou hast brought them through it. Lord, thou knowest all. And our fear, Lord, which we tremble to acknowledge, our sad slavish fear, do save us from it, Lord. Oh, may we trust thee, may we cast it all upon thee, may we pray for our friends, do keep us, Lord, do keep us from the plague. Oh, if it be thy will, we pray we may continue to the end of our days, if thou givest us strength to preach the gospel, to blaze the gospel trumpet. Lord, thou knowest this is our calling. We pray for each of our dear friends, thy servants in the ministry, and any laid aside, Lord, thou knowest the reason, the cause, and thy chastisement upon us, Lord, when it is so needed. Lord, we pray, do heal, do restore. Oh, restore our souls. Restore body and restore soul, we beg thee, Lord. So do hear us, Lord, for all our friends. Lord, we especially pray for a friend and the people of Southery, Lord, and thou knowest it was taken a father and a mother there, and there's a young the son, Lord, he's the only son. We especially think of him at this time. The great distress that there was, that is, has been in his path, Lord, do comfort him. Lord, we wouldn't say more, thou knowest, but we beg thee, hear us for him. And a few others, Lord, thou knowest those that are very close to our heart to pray for. Oh, Lord, hear our private prayers and our friends' private prayers in their own personal things, Lord. Hear them, Lord, and bless them. And may we know the great favour, oh, to acknowledge thee, our God, our Lord, our God, Christ is God. I can avouch before his people cares, since I have prayed him as such, and he has heard my prayers. We can say this, Lord, we use it as a testimony of thy great goodness, of thy loving kindness, of thy tender mercies. Lord, we bless thee, our God, our Saviour. Oh, help us more and more to live to thy praise. Let not the world our rest appear. Oh, may we live unto thee, Lord. We beg thee and prepare us for all thy will, Lord, whatever may appear. Lord, we think of how we were feeling entering into last year, entering into this new year, the end of last year, Lord, oh, here we were in that word, and they feared when they entered into the cloud. And what a cloud it's been, Lord. What a tremendous cloud of troubles, sorrow and sadness, Lord, has been in this year. And Lord, we confess the sins of our land, even in the negotiations for withdrawing from the European Union. Much was done on the Lord's Day and is still being done. Lord, here we are, still sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. We are still debating to enact wicked laws in our government, Lord. We know they're in the recession there, but Lord, thou knowest what is, Lord, even to be announced at the next opening of Parliament, and we tremble to know what we will hear if we're spared to hear it, Lord, for when the announcement of the past opening of Parliament was announced, there were so much wicked things in the to be considered for statute book, Lord. Still, we are, Lord, in great need to be shown it, Lord. Oh, Lord, may there be those enlightened to see it, to see and know what is the great trouble behind all what is upon us now. It's our own folly, our own sin, blaspheming God, our turning from God, our forsaking, Lord, that good way, Lord, thou knowest. We confess it before thee. We plead, Lord, do have mercy upon us, we beg. Oh, in wrath, remember mercy. And, oh, hear the confessions of thy people. May there be much confession, oh, Lord, in thy people, in thy people's prayers regarding our land and nation, Lord, and, Lord, our own sins, and, Lord, thou wouldst hear us and stem the terrible plague, Lord, if it could please thee. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 171. 171. Join all who love the Saviour's name to sing his everlasting fame. Great God, prepare each heart and voice in him forever to rejoice. Hymn 171.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and the verse 14. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Of course, these are the words, the cry, the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These wonderful tidings came to this troubled, sin-cursed world. Wonderful time of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ's holy birth. And the tidings were brought to these humble shepherds. And this song, this affirmation of praise was sounded throughout that land where those shepherds were. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But this word, friends, is part of God's word, his holy word recorded in Scripture. And I believe, and not only as the year comes round, as we have again been spared to the time of the scene, the time of the remembrance of the Nativity of Christ, but all through the year, really, in the Church of God, this should be sounded. In every service of God's people gathering together, these words should be sounded. For friends, it's the most important fact that we should understand that unless we are gathered together with a single eye to God's glory, we're wrong. We're not in real worship. We need to be by the Spirit, each of us personally exercised, and to come together to worship God in the house of God as we are expected, commanded to do. We'll love to do, we'll be constrained to do, but friends, we need to be in the Spirit. We need to be in the spirit of desire and purpose for worship, and there must be within us, friends, those real grounds of reason for us to worship God. And these are the things I want to consider today, as God may help me. I believe he's laid it upon me to bring before you a few things that shall be important for us to consider as to how we worship, how we live, how we profess our Lord as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, how we profess our profession. Is it with singleness of eye to God's glory? And especially as we hope to come to that where it says goodwill toward man. What we've been singing is all based upon the goodwill of God toward man. How Jesus is, how precious he is, how he is to us, what he is to us, what he's done for us. How we are in our hope in Jesus. Can you say, though you have changes, and I do, can you say our hope in Jesus never fails, tis cast within the veil? Friends, all these things, of the way the Holy Spirit brings these important considerations to God's people's mind and heart to consider and to be in wonder of the wonders of redeeming love that God has made known to us. Glory to God in the highest. It says in the highest. In the highest. This is the exercise of God's people's souls. Not not natural consideration, but the highest consideration, spiritual consideration. And friends, let me put it to you. If we are to be in the favour of exercise of glory to God in the highest, oh, is it given you to have a spiritual heart and mind? And is it Christ who is the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000? Is it that he is highest in thy esteem? See, what think ye of Christ? What is he to you? Is he to you your Lord and your life and your all? Or compared with other things? Oh, is there a lower view of him? Friends, can you say that you could part with all to follow him? Oh, can you say he's more precious far than life and all its comforts are? I believe it is God's will and purpose to bring this to be so in his people, to make Christ to be the first and the last. He will be everything to his people. Now, how is it with you, friends, and me? Glory to God in the highest. The most important exercise and purpose and the way of our considerations, the highest importance is Jesus. Oh, he's exceedingly precious above everything else. This is as God has been working in his people, as he has begun his work in his people, and he's been working in them. And you and I need to consider this, how it is with us. Has God been working in us, like we read in Philippians? It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, has God been working in you, friends? And in that wonderful work of grace, God began and God carries on. Has it so been by God increased in the purpose of it in you to this highest degree to bring you to have the highest view of everything? And who this is, it's Jesus. And in his highest work, redemption. And that's what you need and I need. If we're convicted, convinced sinners, we need redemption. And this highest consideration will be as regarding needing a saviour, needing salvation. Has he brought you to need salvation? Has he brought you to so be such a sinner and feeling your lost condition, feeling your helplessness and hopelessness in yourself? But has he given you to see by faith the precious Lord and Saviour? Has the Spirit worked to make you to know there's one God and one Saviour, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? And is it Jesus only who can do helpless sinners good? Do you feel him such? Oh, how you will rejoice as in this season at the birth of Christ, and want to give God the glory to God in the highest for his wonderful condescension. His dear beloved Son coming down, stooping down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise, and God giving you a hope in his mercy, a hope in Jesus Christ. Do you so know Jesus Christ as your only hope, friends? Is he the one thing needful? Is he the one upon whom your hopes of heaven depend? And as I've said, to be prepared for heaven, you need redemption, you need saving, you need cleansing. We've read in the Word here, the Lord cleansed those lepers, cleansed leprosy, healed the sick. How he performed those miracles, actually, literally, for them in their bodies. And we believe a number of them, it is clearly shown that their favour was to be healed and blessed in their souls. But friends, with you, have you come by God's grace into the solemn experience and knowledge of your leprosy of sin? of your state as a sinner who deserves punishment. And God's punishment, if sin is not pardoned, will be the ultimate punishment, the capital punishment of eternal death, eternal damnation. That's what we all deserve, friends. But, oh, God's purpose for his people, whom he's chosen ere time began, who he's begun to work in, as we hope we can say, regarding those of us here who know his work begun in us and is carrying on it in us and his dealings with us. Oh, friends, is it that you've been brought to know your greatest need is Jesus Christ for the redemption price he's paid for your sins, for your soul, to buy you back, oh, to recover you. You know how we sing in the hymn, lost souls to recover and form them afresh. Our wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh from sin to release us. That yoke so long worn all those centuries of time, it was worn by so many. Oh, but from sin to release us, that yoke so long worn, the Lord our Saviour of Mary was born. Friends, oh, friends, it's God's unspeakable gift. And so the angels sang, the angels acclaimed it, affirmed it, the affirmation of it. Oh, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Friends, surely this is your desire. I know it is your dear deacon's desire, as I hear them in prayer in the vestry. It's their exercise. Their exercise is truly by God's wonderful grace. It is. They seek a single eye to God's glory. They seek the good of precious souls. They seek, as I will say again, a single eye to God's glory, in that souls that are blessed and favoured should glorify God. Oh, it's not right. It's not good to be putting forth excuses. Oh, the Lord commands us. The Lord has given us his new commands. And where he's blessed, oh, how it should be in you and in me and in us each. It should be glory to God in the highest, acknowledging him, God Almighty, his wondrous grace, his goodness, his love to us, his love from everlasting to everlasting. And particularly as the Spirit reveals Christ, and Christ is made so precious. Oh, then, friends, this word should be understood as an exhortation for you and for me. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, glory to God. On earth, peace. And, of course, the Lord has brought in that wonderful, his wonderful peace. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. That means he's not going to take it away like the world would. He gives it, and when he gives it, it is given and it's applied, and they experience it, God's people. And, friends, the favour then, you will really, really want to glorify your Lord, a precious Christ. Oh, is it in you a real desire to glorify him? You see, this, if it's in the highest exercise in you, highest purpose, it must be by the Spirit. And if the Spirit exercises a child of God, there may be much of the resisting of the old man, the old nature resisting. But oh, the purpose really is, as God has so purposed it, and is exercising the child of God. Yes, when he so sheds abroad his love, and that holy power of his love is known, then there will not be the resisting. There'll be the overcoming of the old nature. Oh, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so then this affirmation is put into practice by the child of God. And they say, I will run in thy commandments when thou dost, and as thou hast, it may be, enlarge my soul. Glory to God in the highest, friends. So many ways. We should consider this. We should consider it in our professions of our religion. Real religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And what is it that you feel, friends? What is it that you feel of the favours of God's love, his love to you? What is it that you feel? Oh, how he, and I've quoted it before, friends, you know here, what we used to sing in the assembly when I was at the boys' school at Stockfold, and the headmaster was a very devout churchman, and actually his house was right next to the church, and the school was. And we used to have our assemblies, and I remember singing, "Love to the Loveless Show." I didn't understand it, friends, then, but I hope I do now. Love to the loveless shown, as he's shown his love to you. Or is he given you to be able to say, without presumption but by faith, "Oh, how you love him. Oh, loved of my God, for him again. With love intense I'd burn." Have you got the desire for it? Desire to love him more? Oh, that my soul could love him and praise him more. If he's made known his love to you, if he's come and entered you and blessed you and filled you, oh, is it some have the favour of a full soul that can hold no more of everlasting love? If you had that, surely you love him. You love him because he first loved you. We love him because he loved us. Not that we love God, that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Glory to God in the highest. For this highest wonderful thing of favour, of God's purpose, of his love, which he set upon his people before the foundation of the world. When he, in covenant, the Lord God Jehovah, three persons in the Godhead, one God bless him forevermore, and they entered into covenant. And the covenant, oh, we sing of it. Oh, believer stands. Thy rising fears to quell, sealed by thy bleeding sure his hands, in all things ordered well. Do you find the Lord leading you into covenant transactions to meditate upon them? To stand in wonder of it, that through the calling that you receive, you have that proof that the Lord set his love upon you, and he has called you by his grace, and he's been dealing with you, he's been teaching you, and he's brought you to times of blessing, and where he has brought you to times of favour of his blessing you, well, surely it should be glory to God in the highest. Oh, in the and the peace that does flow into the soul. I'm a witness of it, friends. When the Lord set me at liberty under the late J.S. Green's ministry at Stockfold Hope Chapel, just before Easter in 1964, I can tell you that when I was set into that wonderful favour, blessed into liberty, under the words, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," and then the words of quote by the dear servant of God, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee," I can tell you there was such peace flowed into my soul, and I had that peace for 4 days. Perfect peace. The devil couldn't touch me then in that time of that 4 days. He couldn't even come near me. Oh, it was in my soul, it was glory to God in the highest then. I hope it is new still, but there's been many changes. But how are you? Oh, can you reflect upon what God has done for you, how he's worked in your very heart and soul, how he's dealt with you, and how he's brought you to even to this day? And does this seem so commend to thy heart that you want to be involved in it? You should be involved in it, in the praise of God in the glorifying of God Jehovah. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And friends, you know, if we're really brought into this and favoured in this, it will be goodwill toward men. And we won't be falling out with each other. We won't be sowing to the flesh and unkindness and hardness. It will make us, each of us, tender. And we will want to be in the fear of God and do His will and live to His praise. And this peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Oh, what favour it is. Do we covet it? Covet this peace. If we've known some measure of it, some favour of it, we will want more. We will want to be at peace. Know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to know peace among us as brethren and sisters in the faith. And oh, what we need to be begging the Lord is to keep us. To keep us, to help us, to humble us, to sanctify us by His Spirit, to make us to be what He, in His perfect wisdom, knows is best, and what He has decreed is best, and what His purpose is for us. Oh, the Lord has brought me to a point, what His purpose is for us. There are those who He has a special purpose for, and He gives exercise for it. It's the ministry of the Word. I look back, having had a good conversation with a dear friend and sister in the faith, dear Mrs. Broom, who used to be at Southampton, is now living there, down near Trowbridge there, or in Trowbridge. But she were talking and we were reminiscing, friends, reminiscing of times of favour. And this wasn't a sinful reminiscing, it was a sweet remembrance. And as we talked for an hour and a half, and we talked ever so much upon our Lord Jesus Christ, how precious He is. It was sweet, so sweet to be in conversation like that. And there's been others, and how good it is. And how we mourn with those that mourn. She's just recently lost her dear sister, a dear member of the church at Arkle Street, Sedgley. A dear lady I much loved and felt much union with. And, you know, these things, the peace, the blessed Spirit's favour, in the church of God, of God's people, communing one with another. But I was going to say, He has His purposes. The hymn writer says, His purposes will ripen fast and fold in every hour. He has a purpose for each of His people, for His praise. And He has a purpose to furnish the gospel table. And in this, He has a purpose to send forth. And we pray for it, to say that God would send forth more labourers into the harvest. And those that are here, exercise for this. Oh, how He gives it. And He brings it to be such a heavy burden, such an exercise. But He gives all the needy grace. And He gives that exercise, and He so leads the person on in it to the time when they will have to go forth. I remember Mr. Tyler, late Mr. Tyler, saying to me, he knew, I don't know how he knew, but I'd never told anybody. But he knew, and he said, your exercise will have to go into the fire like those Hebrew children. Is it so with one here? That's where your exercise is at the moment. But that day is coming when the Lord will say to you, come forth, go forth. you will have to go forth and preach the gospel to others. The Lord will bring it. He will perform it. We read that word in Isaiah, in that dark, solemn day that it was. But then there's the clear statement that gloominess shall not be as it was. Oh, but there shall be the brightness, the wonderful brightness appearing, which was, of course, what we have in this chapter. And here it says unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Think of it, the government of the church, the government of the whole world, but the government of the church, the government of the church here. Oh, in that way which it will be brought to be as God reveals his will. And the time comes when another time of favour, glory to God in the highest, shall be acclaimed here. Oh, may it be so right through this day. Glory to God in the highest for what he's done and what we have expectation that he will do. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. And for these things to be brought forth, God prepares the ground. He prepares the atmosphere. He prepares the church. He prepares, he does everything that's needed. And then that time appears, peace, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man, God's will. In Philippians we read, and this has been much my consideration of late. In Philippians we read regarding the preaching of the gospel. The apostle was very concerned about the preaching of the gospel. He speaks there in that first chapter of how the gospel is preached in different ways, and some even involving envy and strife. And he says, and some of goodwill. You know, that goodwill is the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost working? The Holy Ghost working in individual souls. The Holy Ghost working particularly in a precious soul that God has appointed for the work of the ministry. The Holy Ghost preparing all the ground like it is with the planting of the seeds, the crops of the earth. There must be the preparing of the ground. There must be the preparing of the ground for the servant of God to go forth and preach in his line of things, the precious gospel of the grace of God. Glory to God in the highest. He is recently in our denomination of churches sent forth more labourers into the harvest. Glory to God in the highest for that. His favour of it. That the ministry of the word might be preached. The ministry of the word might be attended to. And people blessed under the ministry of the word. And souls fed. God glorified. Oh, the favour of it, friends. The building of the church in troublous times. What troublous times these are, friends. But you know, I believe God even has used means, even within the lockdowns that we've had, he's blessed the word. Friends, I can tell you, not wanting to say more, but I can tell you, he's blessed the word through those means. Wonderfully blessed the word. Blessed souls. You may be one of them that he's blessed. Oh, then, if you're one of them that is blessed through those means, glory to God in the highest. Oh, in the highest of your esteem, of your purpose, of your knowledge by the Holy Ghost of what you should do, what you must do. Oh, friends, the Lord calls you. Follow me. Look how he called those disciples. They didn't hesitate. Why didn't they hesitate? Those words of Christ were with holy divine power. The power in his words they couldn't resist. And that's how it was with some of us. They're called by grace. The power in the words, the word that God caused a servant to speak, or whatever way it was, the power in that was conveyed to you, you couldn't resist it. God's people are called with an irresistible call. It's good that you should acknowledge it, that you may remember it and acknowledge it, and this will melt and fill you with gratitude that God did it, because you would never done it yourself. You would never in any way turn to God by your own inclination. No, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. God does his work. Wonderfully he does. He's according to his sovereign purpose. And he brings his people in the church. He increases to build. He brings his people to this glory to God in the highest. It's words that came from heaven to this earth in that wonderful way, the ministration of angels. But friends, it also agrees with that which the people of God will be in by the favour of God, the exercise of the Spirit, the favour of being so melted in gratitude and blessed to know and taste love, that love divine which all loves excelleth. Oh, this will bring you to know what it is to glorify God and be in the practice of it, to praise God, to glorify God in the highest, the most important part and purpose of your life, friends. Is it? Is it the most important part and purpose of your lives? Is it? This is what I believe it means. This is what the message was to these shepherds. And it's recorded in the word like this, because it is the highest purpose, in the highest purpose. And like I've quoted, you know, especially redemption. And oh, as God has made you feel what a sinner you are. Oh, those of you who have, if you know nothing of it, nothing of these things, you're solemnly at this moment out of the secret. But may I warn in this way that if you are not concerned at all about these things, and if you say, well, I don't believe them, I'm not interested in them, let me tell you, death is upon the road. It is. This is how I was. But God showed me that death was upon the road. And it wasn't just natural death. It's eternal damnation. A living death. A continuing death. In hell forever. That is what we all deserve. Oh, to be there and suffer the pains of hell forever for our sins. That's what we all deserve. So you can understand these wonderful tidings of the birth of Christ, the Lord come to this earth in that miraculous way, conceived in the Virgin Mary, and born separate from sinners, and to walk this earth, to go about doing good. And the greatest part, of course, of all his work he come to do is sacrifice. His sacrifice. All his life was a sacrifice. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was from Bethlehem to Calvary, what he experienced. Think of it. There, he, the highest one, the Lord of life and glory, lodged with the beasts in the cattle shed. We lodged him with the beasts. And like we sing, how it was with us, friends, that crowded in like sinners' hearts. Our ignorance is extreme. For other guests had various sorts had room, but none for him. And that's how we are by nature. But is it different now? By sovereign grace, is it different with you? That you have, every exercise of room, need and room for Christ. He's so precious to you. Oh, he's the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000. I often think of that record of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. And you see, there were those daughters of Jerusalem. There may be daughters of Jerusalem here today, and sons too. And you're looking for what you have in the view of faith that God gives you a measure of. You're looking unto Jesus. And he's the author and finish of your faith. He was in the beginning, but you want him now. You need him now. And you might be like those daughters of Jerusalem saying to another soul who you know is so blessed, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Oh, thou fairest among women. And of course, the spares had charged the daughters of Jerusalem not to stir up nor awake her love till he pleased. And they said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Oh, thou fairest among women. What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Well, the answer immediately came. Are we ready to give the answer, friends? Or even if not asked, are we so brought by the Spirit to be full of the love of Christ and feel the favour of our cup running over and have to speak like the psalmist did? He had to speak. Surely goodness and mercy. He would know, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, is God drawing you by the power of his love? Is he so making you to feel such love to him in return, and such power of love affecting you, expanding your soul and setting it on fire with his holy love, that you are in this glory to God in the highest? This is what the Lord is exercising you for, leading you into, and you must glorify God, and we desire it. We may feel it together. I hope the Spirit's witness is felt today, felt this morning, that the Lord is here with us and he is exercising us as a people here, you, the dear people of the church here and the people of God here, the congregation here. Oh, is there the exercise of glory to God in the highest? And is it in the way of God? Is working, is dealing with you, is showing, giving witness of these things, of what he come for, what he has come for and done and accomplished, that the Son of God has accomplished all, brought in everlasting righteousness for the church and everlasting salvation, full redemption, and that the people of God are forgiven. Lovely theme. All his people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made to its man and God. Do you know it? Do you feel it, friends? Are you in the secret of it? This is my burden, my exercise today. Oh, and that we may truly be in exercise to God's honour and glory, to worship our God, oh, and to praise his great name. For through all what we've passed already, and what he's favoured us to know, and how he's blessed us, and how he's not left us to ourselves, to all our folly, but corrected us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If any of you are under chastening at this very time, at this day, oh, may the Lord show you it is in love and not in anger to give you an expected end. And isn't that the highest importance? Your expected end, which God expects, which God has purposed, perfectly appointed, and it can never be any different. What he's appointed, he must save you. He must prepare you for heaven. He must sanctify you by his Spirit. He must do everything in you and for you according to his perfect love and purpose set upon you before the world. And what he has for you to enter into and to attend to, he gives the grace. He gives all what is needed for it. And so, if you are troubled with fearfulness about any particular thing, especially some great matter the Lord has laid upon you, oh, trust him. He will not deceive thee. He'll never leave thee, nor let you quite leave him. Oh, Trust him, trust and obey. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Oh, may we be so in exercise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach again this evening, and the Christmas Sunday School will be held this afternoon at 2:30 and may be listened to on the chapel website. And on Tuesday, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach at 7:00, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30 via the chapel website. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be deferred until a later date. And God willing, next Lord's Day, there will be an early prayer meeting, God willing, at 9:00 here in the chapel. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year prayer meeting at 10:30 on Friday. It can be heard on the internet and by phone. A few seats are available. Please contact Mr. Woolboys if you wish to go. Let us close with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028.
do forgive anything they have seen amiss in their words, their preaching, Lord. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. Bless thy people. Be with us in the interval, Lord. Be with the dear friends in the Sunday school, Lord, the dear young children and young people, Lord. Bless them. You know it's their desire and prayer for them, Lord. We beg thee, bless those things attended to. And Lord, in that may thee honour and glory be unto thee. Help the little ones. If there is begun in them, Lord, help them to glorify thee, even in simple words. We think of the words, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Bless them, Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.